Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our series, Heidi Ho, Neighbor. We want to thank you for joining us, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.
Well, welcome again, wherever and however you are joining us. We're honored that you've chosen to spend this time with us. And we're in this series, Heidi Ho, Neighbor. And last week, you know, I told you to be able to download that neighborhood guide that we offered you about how you can begin to be more intentional with your neighbor. And I told you that over Memorial Day, I was going to pull our grill out in front of the yard and I was going to grill some hot dogs. And I was just going to see how I could interact with the people. Well, I want you to know that I did that, okay? So what I'm asking you to do, I want you to know that I'm doing myself. And I just encourage you to take advantage of that guide, read through it, and let God speak to you to see how you can be more intentional with your neighbors. Now, I'm glad that you're here. And we're learning about who our neighbor is. You know, Jesus told us to love our neighbor. And the question is, what does it really mean to love our neighbor? Now, here's what I believe. Love doesn't come natural for me. And it really doesn't come natural for you. You know, we have this emotion that we commonly mistake as love, but really it's lust. You see, lust is all about getting. Love is all about giving. Not looking for a return, but just giving because it's the right thing to do. And so love is not really natural for me. It doesn't come natural for me because I'm self-centered. I'm more about me. I want what I want, and I want to get what I want. And so I might love to get that, but really it's a form of lust. And maybe you find yourself there because I believe it's one of the hardest choices and decisions that we have to make every day. You know what? Today I'm going to love. I'm going to love people. Now, last week we looked at this question that was asked of Jesus, who is my neighbor? And if you weren't here, I encourage you to download it on our New Point app and be able to watch it and listen and take it in. Because what I want to do today is I want to introduce to you how you and I can fulfill what Jesus asked of you and me. Now, we have a person who does this on a regular basis. She's an incredible woman. Her name is Jean Vaca, and she's very special, and she's here on staff, and she's kind, she's intentional, she's giving, she's loving, and she invited some of her friends to join her and to be able to begin to love people in a very intentional way. And so this is her story, and I want you to listen to it today.
We wanted to let the seniors of New Point know how important they were. That age group of people are a lot more isolated than some of the younger ones and have a hard time getting out. And so we wanted to let them know from the bottom of our hearts how important they were. Myself and the team that's helping me love to cook. And we thought doing these meals together with a few volunteers was really a good way to use the gift that God's given us to bless other people. As we started delivering meals, a lot of the seniors that we dropped meals off to said, hey, we'd love to help in a way. And so they would tell their friends, and pretty soon small groups and all kinds of people were baking cookies for us for these meals. And right now our freezer at church is just brimming with cookies from small groups and ladies and couples that have baked and wrapped these cookies and to did it all in a way to bless other people. I can remember one instance specifically when we were blessed as a family. Jerry had lost his job, and we were youth group leaders at the time at a different church. And the youth group kids all together collected money to send us on a little mini vacation. I'm gonna cry. I could not believe the generosity of kids and how they just had gone on their own and done that for us. I want everyone that's out there that has heartache or feels like they're losing a little bit of hope to know that they shouldn't feel that way. With Christ, that's replaced with hope and joy and peace and promise. And so us dropping off These meals at people's houses reminds them that we love you, we care about you, and you are not forgotten. All of us should find creative ways to use what we have to just bless other people and give them joy. A lot of times we think what we have is so small, but really it becomes huge.
Someone has said that the way in which you change the world is by doing small acts of kindness with great love. I believe that to be true. And so I think the question that needs to be asked of me and asked of you and all of us today is this right here. What does love require of me? What does love require of me? If there's one thing of the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ, it's about learning how to love. And we learned a little bit last week that, you know, Jesus was one who was able to clarify things. He was able to lift the fog because he knew that you and I could justify anything that we would do, that we could talk ourselves into anything and we could talk ourselves out of anything. And so Jesus was one who came back and he brought clarity to all of his teaching. And one day he said this. He said, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another." Now, when he said this to the disciples, you know, it wasn't anything new to them because they had heard this again and again and again and again. But what he says next was unbelievable. It rocked their world. And what came next had the possibility of changing the world. And perhaps if we embrace it, it can change your world. It can change my world. It can change our world. And here's what he said. He said, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you." Wow. Not as your father loved you, not as your mother loved you, not as your spouse loved you, but as I have loved you. And he goes on to say this. He says, "So you must love one another." And so Jesus tells us the answer for changing the world. It's to love other people the same way that he's loved us. That's what he's calling you and I to do with our neighbors, with our coworkers, with all of those around us. You see, he goes on to say this. He says, "By this, when you love other people the way in which I love you, by this, everyone, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your coworkers, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you love one another." And so that comes back to this question. What does love require of me? What does love require of me? That's the question that all of us have to ask. You see, the disciples grabbed hold of this. And when they grabbed a hold of this truth that we are to love other people the same way in which Jesus Christ has loved us, guess what? It changed their world. You see, the disciples, I believe, had two truths that they hung on. One was that Jesus Christ was the resurrected Messiah. And because of that, they no longer feared death. The other one was this, that they were to love other people the same way in which Jesus Christ had loved them. And so the first century Christian, they didn't fear death. They loved one another with a reckless, abandoned love. And they loved pagans, meaning that they loved people who were not like them, who probably didn't vote like them, or dressed like them, or lived like them. And it became an irresistible love that drew thousands and thousands of people to want to know about their God, their heavenly Father. And it was all because they started loving other people the way in which their heavenly Father had loved them. And so what does love require of you and me? Well, first of all, I would say this, that love requires a specific mindset. A specific mindset. You know, Paul, who was captured by this love, who was transformed by this love, who wrote over half of the New Testament, he writes this. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Wow. He was saying that you need to develop a different mindset. You need to have a specific mindset. That's what love requires of you and me, because it's not natural for you to love. It's not natural for me to love. And Jesus wasn't commanding them or asking them to feel something. He was asking them and commanding them to do something. Maybe you've heard of the golden rule. You know, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Jesus said, nope, you know what? I'm trumping that. I'm telling you a new command that surpasses everything else that I've ever said. And that is this: you are to love other people the way in which I have loved you. And so he raised the bar. And this was a whole nother kind of love. And so what does love require of you and me? It requires a specific mindset. So let me ask you a question today. What mindset do you need to say goodbye to in order to make room for the mindset of love? You know, maybe you want to type it in on the chat form there. You know, maybe your mindset needs to be, I need to forgive. I need to accept. I need to serve. I need to be generous. See, all of those things come back to one element, and that is love. Love. And so if we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves, which Jesus instructs us to do, we got to develop and we got to have a specific mindset. And that means that I need to wake up every day and I need to be asking the question, what does love require of me? Today it might require that I submit to somebody, or that I serve somebody, or that I forgive somebody, or that I accept somebody. And so love requires a specific mindset, but also it requires a personal relationship. A personal relationship. It requires that you and I are in relationship with people, that we're not isolated. Remember last week, the man said, who is my neighbor? You see, if you were to ask a first century Jew about that, they would basically say another Jew. And what it would look like is that they would obey the commands of God. But Jesus said, no, you know what? You're to love your neighbor, and your neighbor is that person that's different than you, who smells different, who looks different, who acts different than you. And for you and I to love God at the highest form is to love our neighbor as ourself. And that's how it's demonstrated. That's authentic love, loving someone the way that God loves you and me. And how does he love you and me? He loves you and me unconditionally. You see, Jesus was going to a new place, because a typical Jew was all about vertical relationship with God. You know, they would do their rituals. They would go to the synagogue and they would offer a lamb, or they would offer an offering to God, and it was basically between them and God. And Jesus was blowing that myth up. And he was saying, no, now it's not just about you and God. It's not just about a vertical relationship. It's about a horizontal relationship. It's about your neighbor. And so love requires personal relationships. You know, I find it interesting as I watch people. You know, we fall in love with animals, don't we? I mean, we do. We fall in love with a dog or a cat or some other kind of animal. And I've always been puzzled by that. And I come to the conclusion, the reason why, is easier to love a dog than it is your neighbor. It's easier to love a cat than it is your spouse. Because they don't give you feedback. And it's not as messy as, well, they do mess, but you know, their messes are easier to clean up. But when you start loving people in the way in which Jesus tells us to, it can get really, really messy. And so what happens is we opt out. And I know we're supposed to be kind to animals, so please don't shoot me any emails, okay? Proverbs tells us that. But the fact of the matter is sometimes we use that to avoid loving our neighbor, loving other people. And Jesus died for people, and he calls you and I to love them. Paul, again, who wrote half of the New Testament, here's what he says about it. He says, the entire law, everything, is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Neighbor love was evidence of God's love. What did Jesus say? You will know that they are my disciples by how they love one another. You see, really, that's spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is this: it's determined by how well one loves, not how much one knows. I mean, we like to spout off, don't we, of what we know about the Bible. You know, we get caught up, and I'm okay with this, but we get caught up, hey, tell me about what your beliefs are about Revelation. And the fact of the matter is, listen, you can know absolutely nothing about the Bible and be spiritual if you love people the way that God loves you. It's not how much you know that matters. It's how well you love that matters. You see, all of the New Testament imperatives, okay, are examples of how to demonstrate your love for God by loving others. There's 51 one another's: love one another, forgive one another, accept one another, be patient with one another, pray for one another. You see, this is about a horizontal relationship that God has for us. And when you and I ask the question, what does love require of us? It's not so much about the vertical relationship with God as it is about the horizontal relationship with the people in your life. You see, these are the things that people see. These are the things that people experience. These are the sacrifices that you and I are called to make, and they're unnatural. Just like I said, for me to be loving is not natural because I'm self-centered. And so Jesus gave us a very clear instruction, yet very demanding. And he said, never be fooled by the person who knows a lot but doesn't love a lot. You see, the most spiritual person is that man, that woman, who loves and loves well. They have compassion for other people. They're intentional with other people, just as their heavenly Father is intentional with them. You see, you and I are no longer instructed to obey to gain something from God. God's already given us everything that we need. He gave it to us in His Son. But we are to obey in light of what He's already given to us. And that's why Jesus says, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. You are to love one another as I have loved you. And so love requires a specific mindset, but it requires personal relationships. And as we would say here at New Point, it's dangerous to live alone. And so I would encourage you to be in a group. Get in a group. Go to Group Finder at newpoint.org. Or maybe you can just type in the chat and just say, hey, you know what? I'd like to be a part of a group. And someone will help you there. But that's loving your neighbor. You have to be with people to be able to do that. And God will use that to develop you and to grow you and to mature you and to change you and to change the people around you. And so love requires a specific mindset and personal relationships, but it also requires high standards. High standards. We are to love one another as Christ loved us. Wow. That's a incredible, incredible challenge. That I am to love you, I am to love Patty, I'm to love Caleb and Sarah and Nate and Ben and Jonathan as Christ has loved me. See, love requires a high standard. And Jesus said this to his disciples on that evening before he would go to the cross. You see, He had not died on the cross when he had gave this command. And so when he said a new command that I give to you, that you love one another, and then he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another, their mind didn't run to the cross because the cross hadn't happened yet. You know what their mind ran to? The last 3 years that he spent with them. And no doubt Matthew, who was despised by his community and was an embarrassment to his family because he was a tax collector and he was a Jew at that. He found one who loved him unconditionally. His name was Jesus. And he was blown away. And then you have Nathanael. And Nathanael was the one who was kind of mouthy and said, could anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, guess who came out of Nazareth? Jesus did. And yet Jesus loved him in an intentional way. Then you have Peter, the loudmouth, the one who was always shooting off his mouth and thinking that he was better than everyone. Jesus would wrap his arms around him and love him and forgive him and care for him and accept him. And I believe that's where their mind went. Oh my, you're calling us to love other people, Jesus, the way that you've loved us the last 3 years in light of all that we've done? In light of all the mistakes that we've made? That's the way that we're supposed to love our neighbor. That's the way we're supposed to love other people. And so Jesus issued this new command. And he was not adding to the commands. There were over 600 commands. He wasn't adding to the command. He was saying, no, this is in light of everything else. This is the one thing I'm asking you to do. I'm clarifying everything for you. And here's what he said again. He said this, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, I think it's crazy that there's people who won't fellowship with some people because they don't believe the way that they believe. And yet, when Jesus said that, he wasn't concerned so much with how you believed, but how you behaved. He said, you will know that they are my followers. You will know that they are Christ's followers. You will know that they are my disciples, Christians, by the way in which they love one another. And this would be the standard to which all other behaviors would be measured by. Jesus pointed to this one specific thing that would identify his followers. And it would be this, that they would love the way in which he has loved them. He insisted that they would do something, that they would love. It was the litmus test of whether they were a true follower of Jesus. Paul said it like this. He said, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts. You say, aren't there other things that count more than that? No. The only thing that counts is your faith being expressed, being worked out in love. And that's horizontal. That's working it out with the people that you live with. And so love requires that I have a specific mindset. I'm not going to ease my way into this. That I have personal relationships. It requires a high standard, a love of another kind, and it requires an eternal perspective. An eternal perspective. You see, everybody spends forever somewhere. Your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your co-workers, your neighbor. They're all going to spend forever somewhere. And love requires that you and I have an eternal perspective. Paul goes on and he challenges a group at the church at Corinth and he says this, for Christ's love compels us. The way in which Christ has loved me has clarified and brought a sense of urgency to me. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Wow. You see, loving our neighbor doesn't end with a good deed. It's caring for them. It's being compelled to love them because we know that they're going to spend forever somewhere. You see, here's what I believe about Jesus' teaching. It's less complicated, but it's more demanding. And if you are a Christ follower and you believe that Jesus Christ is the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life and you have accepted him, what Paul is saying to you is to me is this: stop performing. Stop trying to get God's approval. Stop trying to get God's acceptance. You already have that. Now, what you and I are called to do is to live that out horizontally. We are to live that out with the people among us. And so if you're thinking about God and you're thinking, you know, God, I hope I'm good enough, stop it. Because of Christ, you are. And now what he wants you to do is to share that love that he's loved you with those around you. See, Jesus shared it like this, and I close with this. Jesus was talking to a group of people, and he said, when the Son of Man comes into his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He says, take your inheritance. Inheritance, I'm going to get something? He says, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And no doubt they were blown away and they were taken back. We're getting an inheritance in your kingdom? How? How could this be? And Jesus goes on and says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Wait a second. I thought we visited God at church. How did we visit him in prison? He goes on to say this. He says, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you? Goes on. He says, hungry and fed you, and thirsty and gave you something to drink. When did we see you a stranger and invited you in, or needing clothes and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And then the king, this is Jesus, replies, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Wow. You know what Jesus was saying? The way in which you love me is by loving those around you. You see, our devotion to God is illustrated and demonstrated and is authenticated by our love for others. Our love for God is measured by how we love other people. You see, everyone matters. Everyone matters. He doesn't want you and I to get caught up and just say we love the whole world. No, he wants you and he wants me. And matter of fact, he calls you and he calls me to love our neighbor, the person next to us. Who is your one? Who is your neighbor that God is asking you to love? What does love require of me? It's to love them the way that God has loved me. I want you to listen to this song, because this song is so powerful. And as you listen to it, I want you to make it your prayer. I want you to say, God, you know, I want this to be true of me. Listen, you know, we just learned of more things in the news this past week that lets us know that we live in a broken, torn world that's filled with hate and strife and division. And those of us who call ourselves Christ followers, we're called to love people regardless because of his love for us. And so I want you to listen to this song and just say, God, may it be true of me. And so, Father, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you that you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And now you've called us to be able to love one another with that same kind of love. And as in the first century, it changed their world. Imagine what could happen if we would love other people the way in which God has loved us. It would change our world. It would turn our world upside down. And so, Father, may it be true of me, may it be true of us, that we would love our neighbor as you have loved us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media. Download our app, subscribe to our weekly podcasts through Google Play or the App Store, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.